Turn with me to 1 John. We want to continue our study in 1 John. And this evening, I'd like to begin at verse 18. I want to read verses 18 through 20, through the end of the chapter, or through 27 rather, but I don't know if we'll get through all of that this evening. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that you know lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of the all things in his truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that you just help us to, as we examine this passage of Scripture, which is really speaks well of our day in which we live. And Father, where we need to be have our focus and our understanding in our relation to you. Lord, help us to realize we live in an antichrist-spirited world. And Father, help us to look to your Spirit and to the true and the living Christ, your Son. Speak to us through your word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's amazing that as John wrote this, as I've mentioned in some of my other messages, we've been going through James and 1 John, already within the first century, Satan has raising up those who were bringing false doctrine and they were attacking the church. Satan's scheme from the very beginning to seduce and undermine those that were following God has always been to present to them a lie that appears to be the truth. He is, Jesus called him, the father of lies, the seducer, the deceiver. He called him the one that was desiring to turn and take people away from God and to turn them to hell. He would encourage men to do his bidding for him. And a lot of times we look at what's going on in the world today, and we, if we're a Christian, we understand what is the spirit behind many of the things that are happening. A lot of times one can say, how can people be so blind? Like things that are happening in our country. In our nation, for example, in the United States, our nation was founded upon biblical principle. Our Constitution was unique in the history of the world. It gave freedom where freedom in a manner which had never been experienced by any nation ever before. But that freedom was based upon the facts that were contained within God's Word and principles that were there. That has given everybody in America opportunities that people in no other nation have. We have more freedoms, individual freedoms. We have more abilities to do what we want to do, to accomplish what we want to accomplish, to go where we want to go. And yet today, one looks at what's being proposed by many people in our government, and they want to take away all that which has enabled us to have what we have. And one can say, are they crazy? Why would they do that? Don't they understand that they're attacking their own freedom? They're attacking their own right to do what they want to do, to go where they want to go, to become what they want to be? Don't they understand and don't they see? And the answer is they don't see. And some people can say, how could they be so blind? Well, I want to tell you this evening that there's a spirit, and there's two spirits in this world. There's the spirit of the true and the living God, God's spirit, which guides and directs those who trust in Him. And there's also a spirit of an Antichrist. Now, John is the first to use that term, specific term, Antichrist. I want to tell you what anti means in the Greek. It means two things. It means to come against, which is common, what we would commonly think of anti as being. If I'm anti something, I'm against it. And that's one use you could have. The Antichrist would be against the true Christ. But it also has a second meaning, and that is to take the place of. To take the place of. And really, that is the whole deception that Satan has, is he comes against the true and the living Christ. He comes against the true and the living God, and he desires to take the place of Christ and take the place of God in the hearts and lives of men. The Scripture gives us examples, and many examples throughout it, which reveal that the spirit of Antichrist has been in the world ever since the Garden of Eden. And it has raised and grown at various times, and sometimes God has dealt with it through tremendous judgments. We know that the spirit of Antichrist had grown so strong during the time of Noah that if it wouldn't have been that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the whole human race would have been wiped out. Why? Because the spirit that was being driven by Satan, and it was a Satan which caused men to do an amazing thing. Why would you become so violent that the violence was like it had never been on the earth before? The wickedness was so great. And God looked down on men and their sin was so deep. And not only that, they worshiped that which was not the true and the living God. They worshiped all the false gods, and they got involved in demonic worship and all kinds of awful things. It was so wicked that God said, I need to destroy it all. And he said he repented that he'd ever made man. That is strong terminology. It's not that God changed his mind, but it's like Jesus looking over Jerusalem and seeing the blindness and where their sin was leading them. It was leading them to judgment, not salvation. And God looked on the earth and he saw everything that they were doing was leading them to judgment. And he had to judge their sin because they would not repent and turn. But it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why did Noah find grace? Well, grace was unmerited favor. Noah was a sinner too. But Noah, there was something different about Noah. Noah sought God in the midst of rebellion. Noah cried out, and I believe cried out in the midst of all this wickedness, and was one voice, like John the Baptist, was a voice crying in the wilderness and crying for God's deliverance. God extended grace to Noah, but he brought judgment upon a wicked world that was turning from him. That world was driven by the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of Satan himself. It's interesting, after the time of Noah, one can look, and it didn't take long. 3 generations. Noah's great-grandson. Noah's great-grandson led the world down the same road of rebellion. I believe that men are motivated by pride. They're motivated by arrogance. They're motivated by a desire to exalt themselves and become as God. We know that that's the great sin that Satan imposed upon or tempted Adam and Eve with, you shall be as God. You shall have knowledge as God. You shall be like him. And I desire to be like him. You should desire to be like him as well. And you become a God unto yourself. Well, when Nimrod was leading the world, and it said Nimrod was a hunter of men. He was a hunter of men in the sense that he desired to hunt men's souls. He desired to lead men into destruction against God. Three generations after Noah, that type of wickedness rose its head again. The spirit of the Antichrist. You know, the spirit of the Antichrist resulted in God's second judgment within just a matter of generations, and that became at the Tower of Babel, where he scattered the languages and he scattered the people across the face of the earth. And it's amazing. If you stop and think, there are two points in history where everybody that was alive on the earth knew that God was God and that God would judge wickedness, that God would judge sin, and that there was no hope unless you came to God on his terms by his grace. One was at the time of Noah, and the second was three generations later at the time of the Tower of Babel. There was nobody who had not experienced God's judgment in those era, and there was nobody that was left alive that didn't know that God would judge sin. And also that God was a one who was a merciful and gracious God and would deliver for those who called upon him. Nobody in the world that didn't know it at that two points in history. Everyone stood without excuse. But it's amazing what they did when those people left the Tower of Babel and were scattered. As they left and became different groups, because what they did is they went with those that could speak the same languages that they spoke, and so you had people going and they would travel, and they would develop a culture where they were. Some of them went to Africa. Some of them went to what is to Europe today. Some of them went to Asia. Some of them ended up making their way to what we refer to as the New World, the United, or where North and South America and Central America. And as they went to those various places, they took with them two knowledges, the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of the Antichrist. But man left with his own devices will not become more righteous. He will not become more holy, but he will spiral downward into a sinful and rebellious state. It's interesting if you look at cultures. What did they do? You can go to these cultures, and within cultures throughout the world, you will find what are referred to as ziggurats. Ziggurats are their various things. They appear as pyramids. They appear as pyramids with a flat top. They appear as various things that are built up. All of them have one root. It's back in the Tower of Babel. And they, if you go and you used to be able to fly over the country of Iraq, where Babylon existed, over Iraq and Iran, and if you would fly over there, I remember David Hawking mentioning in one of his messages that he had had the opportunity to fly over there. This was before they were having all the wars over there. And he flew over and you could see remnants of these ziggurats all over various places, and when there were still archaeologists and able to go in and study the ruins at various places, there is a place where they feel they may have even found the some of the remains of what was the Tower of Babel. What were these for? They were designed to worship the demonic. They were designed to worship the Antichrist, the spirit that was against God. And what you find is those things are all over the world. And what did they lead to a religion? In Mexico, we have the Incas and the Aztecs. They had human sacrifice on their ziggurats, where they would sacrifice humans to their demonic gods. You had the same thing in Europe. You had the same thing in England. You had the same thing in the Scandinavian countries. You had the same thing in the Far East. You had the same thing in South America and in Africa. As the spirit of the Antichrist spread throughout the whole world. But at the same time, there's an amazing thing. As all of these various cultures are springing up all over the world, as the people have been scattered, one thing you find is not only that it's a remnant of the spirit of the Antichrist, but there's also remnants of the truth of God's Word, which is the Spirit of Christ. In many of these countries, they have accounts of a man and his family that were on a boat, and there was a great flood that killed everything, but they were spared. Very similar to the account that is given in the Scriptures, which is the real account of what happened in Noah, and the whole world was destroyed. You have other accounts of, we find as truth in God's Word, the Word of God, which is true, and yet we find remnants of that in these cultures. There's a spirit of truth and the spirit of the Antichrist. Today, in our country, getting back to where I began the message this morning, you look at our nation, and what do you have? You have raising up within our country the spirit of the Antichrist. John opens this particular portion of his letter to the church. He says, little children, again, the endearment of those that are, he views as the ones that he is responsible for, and the one that, that God has given him oversight for, and the ones that he wants to teach and learn, that they may grow in their understanding of who God is, and they may grow in their faith and walk with the Lord. He says, little children, it is the last time. Now, Jesus hadn't come yet. We're 2,000 years after John wrote this. So how could it be the last time? It is the last time. It was the beginning of the last time. The Antichrist was growing in by leaps and bounds again. And the Spirit was there. And he says in the last times it's only going to get worse. Jesus said it was going to be as it was in the days of Noah. And we just said what the days of Noah were like. Wickedness, vile wickedness that the world has never seen. Demonic worship as it never has had. Don't we have that today? And it's getting worse. All one has to do is see what is glorified in the music of America. You know, most of the rock and roll music today comes out of our nation. And if you listen to the words, it glorifies the demonic. It glorifies illicit sex. It glorifies drugs and alcoholism. It glorifies wickedness, crime, murder, death. These are things glorified in the music that our children listen to. The videos that they watch. They were having a call-in talk show about all the violence that's going on in the schools and all these shootings that are happening. One of the things you never hear about on the news is what many of these people are involved in that are doing these shootings. They are playing ungodly, wicked, vile video games, and at the heart of it is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, if Jesus, the true and the living Christ, is truth and life and love and hope and peace, what is the spirit of the Antichrist? Everything opposite of that. And that is Satan. But he wants to take the place of God. And he comes and he desires to get his people to follow by presenting them with death. You look at people that are caught by the devices of Satan today in our world. Man, I was talking to. Caught up in alcoholism and everything else. He came and says, I found out I could die from what I'm doing. I said, yes, you will. But they don't tell you that. They didn't tell my nephew. You can die from drinking beer. Didn't tell him that. 30 years old, died of pancreatitis, bled out at 30 from pancreatitis. A horrible way to die. But they don't tell you that when you got 56 bars in downtown Fargo and more opening up every day. When you listen to the radio and they joke and laugh about drinking all the time. They don't tell you that. Because Satan never tells you where he's taking you. He's taking you to death. He didn't tell the people at the time of Noah, I'm taking you on a journey that will result in your physical death and your spiritual death, but I'm the Antichrist. Worship me. And today you've got a whole world that's running after Satan and his lies, saying, I'll give you all of these things. I'll give you this feeling. I'll give you this experience. And what do we do in the church? John tells us, the spirit of the Antichrist is real. And he said, he's here today at the time of John. He said here, and it is this last time, and as ye have heard, that the Antichrist shall come. And there he's speaking of a specific Antichrist, the man. But prior to his coming, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we shall know that it is the last days. And as the Antichrists grow, I saw a video that was put out by one of the news medias, and Mark Cahill put it on his website, where there's a famous evangelist and preacher, television personality, that's being interviewed because this man has all these jets and flies all over the world and collects millions upon millions of dollars from those that listen to him. But when she's interviewing him, you saw the face of evil. And what Mark Cahill said is, simply because somebody says that they're coming in the name of the Lord and doing the Lord's work doesn't mean they're from the Lord. And he said there's something wrong when a man is willing to take millions of dollars from people to heap upon himself and then be proud about doing it and justify it. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. And it's coming into the church. And that's what John said. Paul said, in the last days, there's going to come in wolves amongst the flock seeking to devour and destroy them. We talked last week about the fact that he spoke to the elders in Ephesus and wept. He taught. I reread that passage. Do you realize he taught them for 3 years? 3 years, it says, he taught them. And when he left, he wept and said, remember what I've taught you. That there are going to be those that come in to seek to devour you, some of whom are standing before me now, who will be amongst them. How could that be? Because of the spirit of the Antichrist. Satan is a deceiver and a liar. The scriptures also tell us that he comes as an angel of light. You know, I remember an example that Dave Hunt gave one time, and he was talking about how all of these things were coming into the church, coming through psychology, coming through shamanism, coming through Eastern mysticism. They were entering the church. And at that particular time he was speaking, it was still the early 80s. And he said, tonight, if someone came dressed in their shaman garb and walked up here in their full shaman robe with their shaman instruments and they're doing all their incantations, everybody'd say, oh, that's of the devil, get him out of here. But if he came up here in a three-piece suit and talked real smooth and deceived you, you'd listen to what he said and said, isn't that wonderful? And that's exactly what he's saying. Satan doesn't come. You see, Satan wants you to believe that he's a little guy that runs around with two horns and a pitchfork tail and carrying a pitchfork and he's dressed in a red suit. That's Hollywood's version of Satan. Satan's real tactic is he comes as an angel of light where you can't even tell he's Satan unless you're in this word, so you know the truth from the darkness. Because you will be deceived. It tells us, John is saying, little children, the spirit of the Antichrist is here. And there are many of them here. You realize, some people say, well, who could the Antichrist be? And they start looking at politicians, and they start looking at religious leaders, and they start looking at this person and that. Could this be the Antichrist? Could that be the Antichrist? You know something? I think Satan's always got a man ready to be the Antichrist, to be his man. I think Hitler could have been Satan's man. I think Genghis Khan could have been Satan's man. I believe that Stalin could have been Satan's man. I believe that there's politicians in the world today that could be Satan's man. Because he's always got those that he is leading others into deception and causing them to believe the lies. I want you to understand, we are those who are the children of the truth. And John tells us the difference. There are many antichrists, and they went out from us. In other words, these antichrists, those who were false teachers, those that were the antichrists, they've been part of the Christian body, or appeared to be part of the Christian body. Because he says, they went out from us. In other words, they were once are a part of us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. In other words, they would have continued to believe the things we believe, to do the things we do, to worship the way we worship, and to follow the truth as we follow the truth. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. The reason that God did that is so that God revealed to those that would see who these people really are. There have been various times in history that that's happened. I think that during the time of the Reformation, God began to open people's eyes to what the Catholic Church really was. It was a re-glorified Roman government that had just given Christian terms to pagan deities and had synthesized together paganism and Christianity and become all things to all people to gain all people as followers. And it hasn't changed today. It does the same thing. The Roman Catholic Church will be different in Mexico than it is in the United States. In the United States, they'll talk evangelical. In Mexico, they encourage their people to persecute evangelicals. Why? Because they're not of us. They may use some of the same terminology, but listen, and they will give it different meanings. Salvation to them is different. Grace to them is different. Coming to the Lord to them is different. Experiencing the Lord is different. All these terms may sound like what terms we would use, but they have different meanings, and you have to understand what they mean, and you have to inquire of them, what do you really mean by it? And you have to read their theologians and what they really are saying. Because they were of us, but they are not of us. They went out from us, that we may know what they are. And you have the same thing with other people in our nation. You say, how could they turn the back on our Constitution? How could they turn the back on our foundations? How could they turn the back upon the true and the living God when he's given us all this freedom and given us all this prosperity and given us all these things? Because they really were not of that God, the true and the living God. They are of the Antichrist. And they're no longer of us. And it's amazing. My wife and I had the opportunity to hear Constance Cumby speak in Fargo, and then we got to close. But we had the opportunity to hear Constance Cumby speak in Fargo in 1983. She'd just written her first book, and she was talking about a lot of the things that we're speaking of here tonight, about the spirit of the Antichrist coming into the church, the New Age movement, how it was infiltrating the church, infiltrating our country. She was talking about the great dangers of it. And as she was talking about all this, she was being persecuted by Christians. Because they didn't want to hear it. But all she was doing was pointing out what God's always said is there. and it's real. But what she did is she was telling what these people were saying amongst themselves, but they wouldn't say to the general public. And that is, they had a plan to take over the whole world. They have a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economy. Does that sound like something that our Bible talks about? But that's brought about by, not by the spirit of Christ, but the spirit of the Antichrist, Satan himself. She said they had this plan, and there was that some of the ways they were going to do it was through the public school system. They're also going to do it through the churches. They were going to do it through the government by passing laws that would make it more and more coming against truth and embedding lies. Today you have the fruit. I remember we were reading articles about what was happening with the New Age movement in America and the world, and that they were going, their goal was in the year 2000, they were going to announce that they had set their goal and they were going to take over. 2000 came and went and they didn't do it. I believe it was by the grace of God. God was giving us more time. He was giving more time for people to get saved. He was giving more time for the church to wake up to the reality of what was happening and that they would begin to serve Him. And He truly evangelized people as they saw what was happening. Even as Noah saw what was happening, he became a preacher of righteousness, and God spared the earth for over a hundred years while Noah preached righteousness that people would turn. But the problem was, he, like Jeremiah, had an audience that already God knew would not turn and listen because their hearts were so hardened. But we see that Constant Cumby said that that was their goals. Do you realize all of those goals are just about here today? The public school system has become so overwrought with anti-Christian philosophies, Antichrist, that today in the public school system we have evolution taught as fact, not as theory. Creation isn't even taught as a theory, it's taught as fairy tales. And there's no truth to it at all. Yet, the evidence points to the fact that creation's real and evolution could never happen. Then they go on and they talk about the fact that you can introduce any God in the public school system except the God of Christianity, which is the true and the living God. You cannot introduce Jesus Christ. You can't talk about Jesus Christ. And if you mention the Bible in the public schools, you're in big trouble. You can't even talk about the Bible as literature. You can't even bring the Psalms as a picture of a poem. You can't even do any of that. But you can introduce Islam, you can introduce Hinduism, you can introduce humanism has become the religion of the public schools that's being taught. You can't, today there's a Christian college that is suing Google. And what they're suing Google over is the fact that Google today has made hate speech the Ten Commandments. And anybody that posts anything with the Ten Commandments in it, so for example, if Google puts an algorithm in and here's my message on my tape today where I use the term Ten Commandments, they very likely could take that tape and make it so you couldn't publish it on the internet via Google. Because it's hate speech. Yet, is the Ten Commandments hate speech? The Ten Commandments gives people freedom from the consequences of sin. What is wrong with thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness? That's the foundation of any culture's ability to be a culture and sustain itself. Because if you have those things occurring in the culture, it's no longer a culture. But the thing that really bothers them is when you say thou shalt have no other gods before me. Because they want to have the gods of the Antichrist. So we see today that the Antichrist is much closer and the Spirit is growing stronger and is very, very evident that He's here. We're closer than when John wrote this. And the Antichrist could very well be alive today. Because the only thing that has to happen before He is exalted and raises Himself up as the Antichrist, the one who's got all the world's solutions, is for the rapture of the church. And there is not one thing that has to occur prophetically before the rapture occurs. So do we live in the last days? Much more so than John. Because we're closer than ever before to the end. So how should we live as Christians? We need to understand that there are those who say they were of us, but they're not really of us because they're of the spirit of the Antichrist. They come with a different gospel, a different message, My wife and I were just talking about this last night. We had a pastor that told us one time, told me, I went out to lunch with him, and he said, "Oh, you're too black and white. You realize there's a whole bunch of black, a little bit of black and a little bit of white, and there's a whole bunch of gray." Talked about that on Sunday, relativism. Absolute truth is gone. The spirit of the Antichrist. That's in our churches. That's in our schools. That's in our culture. How do we respond? By focusing on the true and the living Christ and presenting the truth. I'll give you the statement that a man gave me when he was teaching his prophecy one time. He came up after the message. He said, "Glenn, do you think that the Christian gospel can survive in America?" He was a teacher, and he asked me that. I said, "Yes, because truth will always win over lies. Because truth sets men free. Lies ensnares them to death." It may be only one person at a time, or it may only be one family like Noah, but it will win, because Christ will win over the Antichrist. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things. Lord, your word was given to us so that we could be prepared for the day in which we live. Lord, the lies that are out there, how Satan desires to ensnare us, how he appeals to our sin and our lust, and how he desires to get us to follow the antichrists of our day. Lord, their messages can sound so good, but they lead to death and darkness. Lord, help us to come to the light, because you are the light. You are the truth, the way, and the life. Go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing,